And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Thursday morning, the 13th day of March.
Well, good morning, Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First.
Well, good morning, King Cummins, the legend.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad I was getting my legacy bones in here today.
There you go.
That's an accomplishment.
It's a little bit different driving in the dark, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I'm thankful for headlights.
Yes.
Anyway, it's another day that the Lord has given us.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad to be a part of it, to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and to praise His name. So looks like another spring day on tap for us.
Really? Yeah, around 76 today.
Well, let's just round it up to 80. I was taught anything above 75, above 5, just round it up. But I noticed on my new truck, you know, that 18-year-old truck I drive, that the temperature yesterday leaving Hoptown was saying 80 degrees at some points.
Really? Yeah, I know, but it was a nice 80 degrees.
Yeah, I thought so.
I mean, just beautiful. It was a beautiful day to get out and do something.
Right. Well, a good friend of mine just recently told me before long that we'd be complaining about being hot. And I've already done that because Brian had the studios all heated up in here this morning.
Yeah, it is nice.
I thought,
and warm.
Gee, I'm going to have to turn on the air conditioner. Oh, but anyway, no, I'm not going to do that. We're going to enjoy every moment, every ounce of it.
That's right.
Brian, there's a lot of things going on, but I'm going to get right to the point this morning because I have a lot of want to cover. Last couple of weeks, I've been talking about the Shane Tung Revival and the history of it, and been using excerpts off of a podcast that featured Dr. C.L. Culpepper. And I had thought last front porch that, that'll be it. But I thought, no, there's so many good things that he had to say that maybe our listeners wouldn't even be aware of. But basically, the Shane Tung Revival is one of the most historic revivals really in all of Christianity, but for 10 years, different things went on in that area of China. And, of course, you know what China's like today. As far as that goes, we know what the United States is like today.
Yes.
But we have an opportunity right now to get in on what God is doing. And it's not just a religious movement. A true revival has some significant features that last. But right now what we're going to do, we're going to get to it. We're going to have the third and last portion with Dr. C.L., a recording of Dr. C.L. Culpepper. Now listen, the audio is a little scratchy, so adjust your hearing, okay?
And that is the place to get it straight. And it nearly scared me to death. I said, oh, Lord, I can't do that. I can't confess to Dr. Brooks. He thinks I'm a pretty good fella. The devil came to try to help me out. He said, if you do that, Dr. Brooks will write to the Foreign Mission Board and they'll cut off your salary and leave you out here with your wife and children without any support. And I said, Lord, isn't there any way to get by this without it? He said, just cover it up and you'll just live your little life out here as a missionary without power. And I said, Lord, I can't stand it. I was so hungry that I felt like I would die. And I said, oh, God, I've got to get this straight. And I don't care what happens. I'm willing to follow you. And he gave me grace. And I sat down and wrote a letter to Dr. Brooks. And I told him the story. And I said, here's the money. And he said, Dr. Brooks, you can take my diploma. You can disown me. You can do anything you want to. But I've got to get right with you. And it was about 3 months before I had a return reply of a slow mail. And when that letter came, I was afraid to open it. I didn't know what he was going to say. But when I opened it, Dr. Brooks said, of course I'm not going to take your diploma. Said, your letter did something for me. Said, you're more my student today than ever before in your life. Said, I wish every student I ever had would just get right with God. The devil always tries to get us, scare us, and not let us do the thing that God wants us to do. Well, I had to do that. And there's other things that we had to do. That is before the revival came, getting all the sin out of our hearts. And God dug deep in our hearts. One of the best men that I've ever known, He had been in China 30 years before I was there. And he worked in the seminary with me, and I felt like he's almost like my father. And when this deep conviction came over the group of 40 praying, he came to me and he just fell on my shoulders and pulled me down to the floor and said, "Pray for me." And he couldn't tell me. He was just groaning. He couldn't tell me what is the matter. And he just groaned, and I groaned with him. I didn't know what I was praying for, but I said, "Lord, whatever it is, meet his need." And he went home that afternoon and didn't come back to the prayer meeting that afternoon, that night. And the next day, I went home to get a drink of water, and I heard somebody yell and looked out, and I saw this man come running. And we had a Elwood wire fence around our yard, and he jumped plumb over that fence and ran in. I ran out on the porch. I didn't know what in the world was the matter. And he grabbed me, and he nearly squeezed me to death and said, "Charlie, it's gone. It's gone." I said, "What's gone?" And then he told me the story. He said, "Before we came to China, my wife and I," he said, "there's a man that insulted my wife. He didn't tell me what he did, but he said I was ready to kill that man. I said such bitterness, and I was going to find him and have it out with him." And said, "God said, you can't do that. You're my servant, and you're going to China as a missionary. You can't do that." And he said, "I said, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll let you have it." And he said, "I thought I did the noble thing. I turned it over to God." But said, "What I meant when turning it over to God, I realized now, since the Holy Spirit showed me, that I just expected God to send him to hell." And God asked me, today, the day the Spirit of God fell on us, he said, "Would you like that man to be in heaven with you?" And he said, I was surprised to know that there's a root of bitterness there that I couldn't stand to think the thought of seeing that man in heaven. And he said, that's what hurt me so. I preached for 30 years to love our enemies, to forgive those who ill-treated us. And I thought I was clear on it. But I found way down deep in my heart, that was the root of bitterness. And he said, to show you how evil this old sinful heart of mine is, I came to the place where the thought went through my mind. I said, "Lord, all right, you save him, but keep him on one side of heaven, and I stay on the other side of heaven." And he said, when that thought went through my mind, I thought the Lord would kill me with conviction, the very idea of me talking to God about how he could run his heaven. And finally he said, I got to the place where I said, "Lord, if I can find that man, if he's still alive, I'll go to him and I'll confess my sins to him of bitterness and hatred, and I'll do my best to win him to the Lord." And he said, that's when God turned me loose. And that man became a flaming evangelist, and hundreds were saved in the next few months where he held meetings, and the Lord used him in a mighty way. And there are many other stories that happened. There's one man that wanted to come to America several years before this revival. He was a well-educated man and an old Chinese scholar, and he spoke English well, and he wanted to come to America to go to school. And so he lacked about $400 of having enough money, and Mr. Hartwell, who was principal of the school, said, "Well, I'll let you have the money, and you can pay it back whenever you're able." He said, "I'll charge you no interest. You just take this money and go." And so he came to America, and he went to Georgetown College in Kentucky and graduated, and then went to Peabody and graduated. And while he was in America, Mr. Hartwell died. And Mr. Hartwell's wife was not a missionary, and so she settled up everything and came home. And this man said when he got back, he said, "Well, Mr. Hartwell is gone, and he wouldn't expect me to pay it back, so I just indifferently just let it go." And then it had been about 2 or 3 years that he had kept that and hadn't settled it. So during the time of this prayer and the conviction, he was convicted of so of sin till he came to me with the deeds to a piece of property and said, Brother Culpepper, I want you to put these deeds in your safe. And said that God has convicted me that I should sell this property and pay the widow of Mr. Hartwell that $400. And said, I'm afraid that if I get cold, I won't do it. And I want you to keep the deeds until I can get a buyer. And when I get a buyer, I'll sell this property. And so a few weeks after that, he came and said, I've got a buyer from a land. And I gave him the deeds, and he sold the land. And then he came and asked me to give him a check. He gave me the money and asked me to give him a check in America for money in America. And he wrote Ms. Hartwell a letter and said, this is money that I should have paid back long ago that Mr. Hartwell gave me. And I had no note, I had no record of it, and I had just neglected to do it. And that God has convicted me that I must do it, and I want you to forgive me, and here's the money. Well, he showed me the letter that she wrote back. She said, I'd lost confidence in Chinese Christians, but your letter and your confession and your restoration of that $400 restored my confidence in the Chinese Christians, and he thanked her very much. It was a wonderful experience that he had. There was another instance where we were praying one day, and one of the pastor's wives, while we were on our knees praying, and when we got up on the table, and I was leading the meeting on the table, there was a roll of silver dollars wrapped in brown paper, and written on that, outside of that brown paper, a roll of about $30, silver dollars, and it was the woman's name, and said, this is the tithe that I have stolen from God. And another instant, one of the deacons of the church, one Sunday morning, he came to church and he brought a basket. In those days, we used those silver dollars. They're like about as big as our silver dollars. And he bought a whole basket full of those. It was really a big load, 500 silver dollars. And he brought it up and put it on the Lord's Supper table and had in there his name and said, this is the tithe that I have stolen from God. And people were convicted of stealing God's tithe and robbing God. And many other stories that without end, I could tell you. One man was convicted. He came in one morning, and his face was swollen and red, tears running down his cheeks. And the prayer meeting that I told you about started on Tuesday morning and went 4 days and nights. And there's always somebody in the prayer room, sometimes only a dozen, sometimes up to 200. But this morning, this man came in, and there were about 50 of us in there. And he said, you people know that my wife's not saved. And said, she can't be saved. God showed me last night in my office at the school that she couldn't be saved because of me. That I was living a hypocritical life because I was afraid of my wife. Said, you people don't know my wife, but she's a holy terror. Said, she doesn't want me to give a tithe to the church. And so he said, I lied to her. I take out a tithe of my money and give it to the church. And then I go home and tell her this is all that I got. And so I've lied to her and deceived her. Another way I've deceived her, she doesn't want me to go to church. She doesn't know when Sunday comes, but she thinks it's not worthwhile to go to church. It's just a killing of time. Said there's so much that needs to be done around the place, and so you must stay here and do that on Sunday and not go to church. And he said, she says, if you go to church, if you insist on going to church, I'll follow right in behind you. And when we get into the church building, I'll jump up and down and yell and holler and fall down and kick up my heels, and I'll disgrace you. And said, you people don't know my wife. She would really do it. And said, I'm afraid of her. And so when Sunday comes, I don't tell her it's Sunday. I tell her I've got to go to the market and buy something. And when I go and buy, go to church and then come back to the market and buy something, take it back and tell her. He said, God convicted me last night. I've got to go home and tell my wife that I've lied to her and all that I've done. And he said, I want you all to pray for me. And so he left us, and we prayed. About an hour, he came back, and his eyes were still filled with tears, but they were tears of joy. He said, when I knocked on the door, the outside wall, you have a wall around the houses, knocked on the door, and his wife coming out to open the door, he hadn't come home the night before. He'd stayed at the school. And she came out reviling and cursing him and said, as she cursed him for everything she could think of, he said, wife, stop cursing me. I've come home to confess my sin to you. And just as she opened the door, she heard him say, to confess my sin to you. Said she had never heard me say that before. And so one time in her life, it stopped her from talking. And she was surprised. And I went in and I told her everything that God had convicted me of. And I said, now, wife, I told you what Jesus has convicted me of, and I've got to confess to you. And she said, did Jesus make you do that? And he said, yes, Jesus made me do this. I couldn't live without confessing and getting right with you. And she said, well, I think that I need Jesus myself. And so he came back there and said, will some of you women go over there and tell my wife about Jesus? Said, I tried many times before to get women to come. And my wife and other women had gone, but she had never been willing to confess before. And so in about 3 weeks, she was saved and all of her children were saved. And God did wonderful things, miracles. We found that the devil tried to stop us, and we found demon-possessed people, and we given the power to cast out demons. But friends, in all of this, I just want to say that it was God doing it all. And we were simply standing by. And sometimes I felt like I would just die of unworthiness to see what God could do. And I felt like the disciples, as they listened to Jesus teaching them from the ship, and then he said, launch out into the deep and cast the net for a draught of fishes. And the disciples said that, Peter and James and John said, Lord, we've toiled all night and taken nothing, but at your word, we'll do it. And they let down the net, and they caught 2 boatloads of fishes. And they were so dumbfounded that they fell down at Jesus' feet. And Peter said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And the other disciples also were. And that's the way I felt. We had toiled and worked and pulled and tugged and used our own methods and everything we could think of to win people, to have revivals, and to win souls. And then, just at God's word, he came down, and his power, the Holy Spirit, and we saw multitudes saved. And this went on for 15 years. It would flare up and go like a wildfire for a few months, and then it would settle down, and quietly deepening of the Holy Spirit, studying the Bible, teaching the Bible, and then it start again. And it spread all over our state, Shandong province, they call them provinces, and all over 5 northern provinces. This went on until for 15 years, until the communists came in. Even during the Japanese War, when all missionaries were out, the Chinese preachers and workers went on, and God saved multitudes. And I'm convinced that God saw what was coming to China in the Japanese War, and then in the communists coming in. And he saw that missionaries and all of the helps that he had put there to help the Chinese people were going to be taken away. And God wanted the people of China, the preachers and the deacons and the men and women of the churches, wanted them to really meet God face to face and be filled with the power. And today, when everything's out, every missionary's out, nobody's preaching, the churches are closed, those people there have God. They are not allowed to have Bibles. They're not allowed to meet in churches, worship. but they have an underground system that is the most wonderful thing that you can think of. And God is there with them. And I believe that God wanted to prepare the people for what he had for them, and sending this great revival at the time that he did.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Dixon, Tennessee, "My everyday is blessed, taught, and encouraged by Missionary Radio. May God bless this precious ministry." From Clarksville, "We mainly listen when we are in the car. We love the station." From Hopkinsville, "Missionary Radio, praise the Lord for your ministry." Also from Clarksville, "Thank you all for a great job."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Well, good morning to you. If you just joined us here on the front porch, I'm Ken Cummins along with Brian Marshall, side bottom the first, and we are lifting up King Jesus. Now, earlier we heard that the last installment of a three-part series that I've presented with Dr. C.L. Culpepper, who was part of the Shantung Revival. And, of course, you can find a lot of old audio recordings, but I thought that was quite profound to hear firsthand of some of the things that went on during that great revival. And you hear of moves of different revivals and different meetings, and it's interesting to see what a true revival actually does.
Mm-hmm.
And that revival, he said, it had its upswings, and then it had ups, and it had downs. But there are some patterns of things that happen over a longer period of time.
Yes.
And so I'm going to just hit some of those here this morning. The Bible has no word for revival, but it does reveal a pattern. I know that "Will thou not revive us again?" And there's other passages where it's used. I know that before you call me. But the Old Testament documents several times when God revives the spiritual life of his people. And the Old Testament does reveal it could be what could be called a revival pattern, as some will agree. For example, the following a period of spiritual decline, someone steps forward, which is in the prophets, to acknowledge failure to live according to God's good and gracious law. Then others begin to see the problem, and they turn from their wayward path. God may hear their petition and answer their cry with revival. That's where that comes from, relive. Someone, I've heard it said over and over and over again, how can you get revived if you've never been vived?
Well, that's good.
You've got to have it's a life.
That's it.
Yes. And I'm all for evangelistic efforts. I'm like you, dear listener. When someone gets saved, I know the angels in heaven are rejoicing, and yes, I rejoice, and we have more reason to rejoice because we are the redeemed.
That's right.
And so we must rejoice. Mm. Now, I do think that we need to be very sincere and follow up in discipleship to see if that decision's for real, because we're not the one that made the decision. That's the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm.
But we have so many that have made false professions, and they'll later on say, well, that wasn't real.
Yeah.
Well, why not wait till it is real?
Mm-hmm.
And do the Holy Spirit's convicted you of your sin, and you know that you are a sinner?
Yeah.
And if you aren't, if it wasn't real, by all means, praise God, he revealed it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't go through life thinking you're saved and you're not.
Yeah, yeah.
But revival does result in evangelism. There's evangelism that obviously will follow. But evangelism is just that, evangelism, but revival is for God's people. Now, and a lot of people will say it's very difficult to even define a revival. I think it's a sovereign act of God. The Bible doesn't clearly define it. J.I. Packer defined revival this way, as God's quickening visitation of his people, touching their hearts and deepening his work of grace in their lives. Huh. And also this, I'm looking at a website called the Gospel Coalition for part of this information, but in the Evangelical Dictionary of World Missions, Earl Carnes defines it as the work of the Holy Spirit in restoring the people of God to a more vital spiritual life, witness and work by prayer and the Word after repentance and crisis of their spiritual decline. That's what I noticed in this testimony that was given by Dr. C.L. Culpepper, and that's what I've noticed when you see people go through a true revival movement. Yeah. There is repentance.
Mm-hmm. But Kent, revival starts within us, right?
It must. It's individual.
Yeah, it can't just be spontaneous.
I don't want, well, it can break out spontaneously, yes, in a manifestation.
Yeah,
but I think you're right, Brother Brian. It starts in every single individual.
Yeah.
There's something in my life between God and me, mm-hmm. a deep, dark, held secret that's mm-hmm. only secret to me, to somebody else, not God.
Yeah.
He certainly knows it.
Oh, yeah.
But I believe His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit shines and penetrates that. It's not how high you jump, it's what you do when you land.
True.
If we think that we have a revival because we ran and danced and carried on, and then after it's over, wasn't any lifestyle change, it's good to get excited for Jesus.
Yeah.
But if that's all you have.
Other than that, it's just a show.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
I will not say. Yeah. But it could be if that's yeah. all you have.
Yeah.
Because it truly is a change in lifestyle. And it may be, another person put it this way, it may be that what we classify revival, the apostles understood as the church's expected posture toward God, one another, and the world around them. If so, then we might understand revivals as a time, listen carefully to this, when Christians remember and embrace their calling by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when we go back to where we started, hence revive.
Mm-hmm.
We realize, wait a minute, that's normal Christianity.
Yeah.
Dr. David Platt and his work, and a lot of his work on radical and the different variations of that. And there are those, one of the premise that he maintains there is that what we consider radical is just normal Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Living holy, being truthful,
mm-hmm.
having integrity,
true.
Witnessing
yeah.
in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true disciple as Jesus Christ, giving, yes. loving.
Yes.
You know, I'm amazed that some of the things that people will say, even though I've said some silly things myself, I do it.
Yeah.
But if it's not, for example, well, if you Christians really truly love, you would just love people the way they are. I get it. But God doesn't leave them the way they are. We love them enough to tell them that it's you're dead and your trespasses and sin.
Yeah.
It's not what I'd rather have Jesus judge me than a person, because it's amazing how mm-hmm. ugly sometimes people can be to one another.
Oh, it's awful. Awful.
But Jesus is the righteous judge, not me.
That's right. That's right.
I'm leaving that to Him. However, the Scripture, if you follow the Scripture, we don't continue in our sin. But yes, God so loved the world, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And He does love all, no matter who they are. But I won't tell you this, He doesn't leave you there.
Mm-mm.
Revivals lead to renewals, movements, and awakenings. That's what we noticed from Dr. Culpepper's comments. For example, there's a term, revival, extends to other terms related to it, revivalism, awakenings. You've heard the first and second great awakenings. You've heard about the charismatic renewal. You've heard about the Jesus movement. A helpful distinction between them is that renewal occurs when God touches the heart of a single individual.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Revival occurs when God touches a community of faith.
Okay.
Hear the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual renewal or awakening, individual.
Mm-hmm.
But a revival sweeps a community of faith across denominational lines, and it's obvious that God is doing it. And where no one is taking credit for it, not a preacher, not a singer, not a group, not a plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's God doing it. You cannot program it, but
that's right.
Can get in a situation where you allow God to move, that's for sure. But awakening occurs when the wider society outside the church is impacted. It's when the lost see that there's a difference. Oh, my goodness, they're honest in their dealings.
Mm.
That Christian didn't lie to me.
Yep.
He didn't lie in his business, he or she.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
told the truth. A mm-hmm. movement can be thought of as an awakening that has a more narrow influence, I think. Well, speaking of influence, I need to keep the manager happy by keeping the programs going on time.
All right.
He talked to me about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I thought I'd repent and since he mentioned it.
Here's Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope.
Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. Hi, I'm Shauna with a word from Johnny about anxiety and pain.
You know, I was reading a report the other day about the record number of people who are now dealing with chronic pain. It was so alarming, whether from a botched surgery, scoliosis, a football injury, or pain from any one of the many autoimmune disorders. Oh my goodness, pain is hard. It's relentless. It can wear you down. And all of that can lead to a lot of anxiety. Living with chronic pain as I do, I've come to see that our adversary, the devil, delights in using anxious feelings to rob us of joy, steal our contentment, and divert our focus from trusting God. Anxiety has become the devil's most useful tool in discouraging us Christians. I know that every day, and I mean every single day. I have to dismantle anxious thoughts and make them captive to Christ. Thoughts like, oh my goodness, what if this pain gets worse and I can't sleep tonight? Or, what if something happens to my husband Ken and he can't take care of me? And the really big hand grenade that the devil lobs, what about the future? What if my pain gets worse? How do I take those thoughts captive to Christ? Well, I take a deep breath and I tell myself that when I signed up in the army of Christ, I vow to keep the cross before me. Yep, it's a vow. When we become a Christian, we follow Christ. And that means purposing, yes, promising, to daily take up our cross and follow Jesus. I must leave every awful possibility on the table and face it, not fear it. Face the fact that if indeed I have to live a life in pain, so be it. God will be my ever-present help in that trouble. I have to face the awful possibility that, yes, I may very well one day succumb to pneumonia, like many of my quadriplegic friends have. But I'm not to fear it. I'm to face it. Because even in that, God will rescue me. He will gloriously deliver me into the other side of eternity. But I have discovered that anxiety is defanged. Fear is declawed. When we embrace our private crosses. But ours is not to wonder if, when, and why. Ours is to pick up the cross God has given us, trusting that He will never, ever give us a cross that is 1 ounce too heavy or 1 inch too long, because He has hand-tailored your hardships and mine, and no suffering can touch us that has not first been filtered through His fingers. So ours is to fix our eyes on Jesus, lock them there, keep them there. And if we do that, the devil will hightail it, taking with him all those fears and anxieties in his arsenal. Keep your mind on your Savior, and His peace, which passes all human understanding, will safeguard you in Christ Jesus. You know, these are hard things I've shared, but I'm convinced this is where so many of us live. Whether you have a disability, a difficult marriage, you're facing older age, a terminal illness, that's life. And I trust what I've shared today has helped.
Listening friend, I know Johnny's message has helped you, just like it helps me. But if you need even more help, please go to johnnyradio.org, where you'll find a storehouse of Johnny's timeless wisdom and encouragement. And while you're there, be sure to leave us your prayer request. Our Johnny and Friends prayer team would love to cover you in prayer. So Go to johnnyradio.org and be blessed. Remember, that's johnnyradio.org.
Tammy, spring's almost here, and I can feel it in the air, well, at least sometimes. But I do know this, we have an important event coming up. You know what it is?
I do. It's our annual Friend Raiser. The days are set for Tuesday and Wednesday, April 8th and 9th from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Thursday, April 10th from 6 to 9 a.m. This year's theme is Thank You, Jesus, which is a great song by Josh Baldwin.
You nailed it. This is our first of two fundraisers for Missionary Radio. We're 100% listener-funded and depend on the partnerships with our listening family. We ask you to pray and then respond.
We ask you to renew your faith pledge, and if you can, perhaps bump it up a little. Also, if you had to stop your financial support, we ask you to come back. And we are looking for new supporting friends as well.
For complete information, you may go online to missionary.radio and click on Donate. Thank you for listening to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on this Thursday.
Well, thank you, Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First.
Well, you're very welcome.
I'm Ken Cummins. Good morning to you. And yes, we are getting ready for a big event. Now, one thing for sure, a movement of God results in generosity. And I am so thankful that we can maintain not a radio station that is somewhere off in the distance, but right here where you are in your community, that we can rally around as a body of Christ, mm-hmm. and not promoting any one group, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We say that the world needs King Jesus. The founders, they definitely set out to, in the start of WNKJ, to get it to the point to where it would be to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we still to this day, with all the other stations that are added in it that have become Missionary Radio, we are definitely on the same mission that the world needs King Jesus, mm-hmm. and to present Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And we maintain, and so to this day, 100% listener-funded. There aren't any hidden endowments. Mm-hmm. There isn't any fund that somebody has left us that we can draw from. It's the daily, give us this day, our daily bread. Mm-hmm. And we come to before you as our listening family, and generation after generation, we have some that are still have supported from day one this yeah. movement of God.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very young when this all started.
Didn't have no grade, did you?
Well, no. I was a student at Murray State, but anyway, here we go into what we see is one of the very important event, our friend raiser. We're looking for old friends to come back home if you had to leave for a while financially. Our current friends to please stay with us and renew.
Yes.
And maybe you can even bump it up a little bit and mm-hmm. Pray about that if you can. If you can't, you can't. You know what you can do or cannot do. And we're just telling you the need is there. Mm-hmm. And then, but we're also looking in this friend raiser, Brian, to get a whole host of new friends.
Amen.
That's why when you hear us on the air, we get so excited about that. We're mm-hmm. excited about every gift.
Sure.
But when we see that new one come across, we almost mm-hmm. we break out in a dance with a bell and all kinds of stuff around here, because that means more folks have grabbed hold of the vision and they're becoming a part of it. He said, giving to a radio station?
Yeah.
I will keep up my subscription to satellite radio and I can listen to my tunes and my playlists and I won't be bothered with you guys. Well, let me tell you, that satellite list is not reaching people around the world through TWR.
That's right.
And you're not telling about locally what's going on in this area. We're not in competition, but this is a ministry. Yeah. I want to encourage pastors, and I feel like I'm in a seat to do that because I have been there for many, many years.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and I want to say to you, brothers, I would not ask you to do anything that I'm not doing myself. Mm-hmm. So lead your congregation. If your church gives, then you give monthly.
Yeah.
Does it mean something to you?
Yeah, That's right. Does it mean something?
Yeah. Are you glad that there is a Christian radio ministry that's not about you, not about me? It's all about King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pray about it, and let's say thank you to Jesus. We mailed out, or Tammy did yesterday, those that have given in the last few years. We mailed out a list to you of a letter explaining more about this. But here's how you can respond. You may not be on the mailing list. That's okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, we don't sell our addresses and emails to anyone. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. If you give here, it stays with us.
That's right.
Now, if you give to some of these programmers, I can't guarantee you what they will do.
Sure.
But I can guarantee you what we will do. Mm-hmm. It will not leave here.
That's right.
I know that because the Lord's put me in the place of the seat of authority on that one. So I guarantee you that's not going to happen.
That's right.
Now, I will say this to you. Here's how you respond. You go to missionary.radio. You click on donate. You can use Cornerstone Payment System with your debit or credit card. It's safe and secure. You can set up a recurring gift there. While you're there, you can fill out your faith pledge card and start later if you so choose. Or you can mail to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, 1029, Hopkinsville 42241. And, of course, you can call us during the business hours and while we're on the air those days, of course, at 877-885-9655. Big explanation, but really, really important.
Yes, it is.
I mean, so pray about it. Share it with your church. Now, back to where we were talking about, and been 3 weeks talking about the Shantung Revival and hearing from recording of the late, very late, Dr. C.L. Culpepper. I think he died in 86. But it's certainly a tremendous testimony of what God did. Here's some takeaways. The First Great Awakening birthed American evangelical Christianity. The Great Awakening refers to the religious and cultural changes that occurred in colonial America between the 1730s and the 1760s. A series of revival spread throughout the land and brought about a very significant social upheaval to occur. This was prior to the American Revolution, by the way. But the Great Awakening, as one historian, Thomas Kidd, notes, gave birth to American evangelical Christianity. The revivals helped emphasize that all people are born sinners and that sin without salvation will send a person to hell, and a person can be saved if they confess their sins to God, and that a personal conversion is a necessary event that comes from seeking forgiveness and accepting God's grace. That's true. That is biblical. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of churches in the area that Sunday is 3/16, and March the 3rd, 16th day. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have an emphasis on John 3:16. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is true. And the emphasis to that teacher, Nicodemus, it just like for us all, he said, man, I can't be born of my mother again. No, you got to be born spiritually.
Spiritually,
you're dead in your trespasses and sins. Mm-hmm. It is a personal thing. And that is when repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the Second Great Awakening led to social reforms and new religious movements. Mm-hmm. The period known as the Second Great Awakening began about 50 years after the Great Awakening ended. Methodists and Baptists took the lead in using revivals to spread the spread of Christianity into the frontiers of America. Indeed, this awakening led to a significant growth in the camp meeting movement, Methodist movement, from about 20 churches in 1776 to more than 19,000 by the time of the war between the states, making them the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. The Second Great Awakening also sparked a number of social reforms, prison reform, temperance league, women's rights, and led to the creation of other religious movements along the way. So, what all of this to be said, a true revival and awakening, a revival spread and spread and spread. Now, Also, this is noted that probably hadn't been said much about, but prayer among businessmen led to national renewal. And some don't talk about this much, but in 1857, lay missionary Jeremiah Calvin Lanfear began to host an hour lunch prayer meeting in New York City. About six men showed up the first day. But by the next year, 10,000 men were praying daily at what became known as the Businessmen's Revival of 1857-1858. It spread across the country and led to an estimated 1 million believers being added to church rolls. How about that?
Wow.
Yep, indeed. A revival in Los Angeles. Now, Brian, you probably know about this one. Birth the Pentecostal movement, the Azusa Street Revival.
Heard of it, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a big deal. It was a series of revivals in Los Angeles, Los Angeles, that began in April 9, 1906 and continued until 1915. These revivals were scorned by many established denominations, by the way, and many will still try to put that down. I'm not one of them. And led many who are attracted to new Pentecostalism to start their own churches and fellowships. It led to the formation, and this is where I really came to know this, when I was the director of development and the first general manager of CFR in Bowling Green, because I was working direct, honestly, with the Assemblies of God. Here I was, a Baptist boy in a Baptist seminary tree. Yeah. But I began to see the movement of God in a tremendous way. It's still going.
Yeah.
But that led to the Assemblies of God, which is a tremendous movement of God. Still going on.
Oh, yes.
There's so many more I can mention.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And, oh, God, do we need revival?
Yes, we do.
And a movement of the Spirit. It's happening on college campuses. Let's get in on it. Let's encourage our young people. And let's support the things of God like Christian radio.
That's right.
Start with your church.
Man.
Hope you have a great day.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.